Hey guys, just wanted to give you a quick heads up that if you like Heroes of the Storm and you're sick of me talking about it here and just want to see what's up, new podcast coming to the Frog Pants Network this Saturday, the 26th of September, the brand new show Core with myself, John, and Bo coming right at you. Go to heroesforyou.com and subscribe today. This is the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for September 21st, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Roll with it. Oh, I've missed you guys. It's been a little bit.
I apologize.
But I'm back. We're here. We're doing stuff. We've got things to talk about. Do you guys watch any of the America's Championship Tournament stuff for Heroes of the Storm this week? Really intense. And it's funny because I realized a lot of my friends, like real world, like live around me friends, are at home watching, you know, the Packers play Seattle or whatever was going on that day, right? I, on a big screen, had the most intense quote-unquote sports event I've seen in a very long time. Not since a couple of Dota matches I saw a couple years ago have I been this blown away by competitive video game play. And yeah, that Heroes of the Storm stuff is great. I can't wait to see how the European group does. Their games are, I think, the very first week of October. The ones that determine who goes to BlizzCon. I don't know what the rest of the world's doing. Where's the Antarctica League? Arctica. You may have heard at the top of the show, there's a new show coming to the network with myself, John Jagger, and Bo McGillicuddy Schwartz. And it's awesome, and I'm stoked about it. It's called Core, and you guys should go check it out. You can sub now. There's even links to iTunes and stuff already up there. There's a little holder file in there for now, but it'll have you all set for Saturday. Also played a scary game called Dungeon Nightmares 2. Holy crap, dude. Those skeletons can eat it. Apparently there's a game called Dungeon Nightmares 1 or just Dungeon Nightmares, and I never played it because I don't play scary games. You guys know this of me. But on the stream, the NVIDIA stream the other night, Saturday night, we played about an hour and a half of that, and it's a roguelike and a survival horror game combined. You have no weapons, you can pick up candles and give yourself a little additional light, you spawn inside of a dungeon. It's randomized, so the map and the rooms and everything are all in a different place every time. Your goal is to get keys and get the hell out of there and survive. And I've had to run a couple of times from scary things. And I've had to, I've died a few times because of scary things. You have a little lighter with you, so you can flick it and like create a little bit of brief light. Turns out that thing will set off like a skeleton, so don't go near those and then flick it or they'll attack you. And it one shot killed me. There's other weird stuff, traps, fell through a floor and got spiked, lots of weird stuff like that. And then for some reason, this thing's at the bottom of a hotel, because when you respawn, you're in a really cruddy looking hotel room, and there's, you know, just your crappy room, bed, and a broken lamp, and a crappy TV, and a terrible bathroom. And then you go out into the hall, and all the hallways have these doors, and you can't unlock those doors until you find the keys for them in one of your runs of the dungeon. My thinking is once you've got the key and open that door, now that door is opened, so you have some progression that stays. But I haven't gotten far enough to know. What a game, dude. Just, I'm not good at these. And I know there are scarier games to play, and I really want to play that new, is it Sonos? What is it? Ah, shite. From Frictional Games. The guys that did your run around in the mansion and don't die thing. Anyway. Set in like some derelict space station or a ship or like an underwater thing or something. I know very little about it, but I have to admit I'm kind of intrigued. I'm feeling an itch for scary games, and I hate them. I don't know what's wrong with me. Somebody stop me. Tell me I'm wrong. But yeah, Dungeon Nightmares 2. It's like $8 on Twitch on Steam, and I'll probably play more of that. Put some stuff up on the YouTube channel. It's at youtube.com/Scott Johnson. So you know, keep your eye out. Keep an eye on it. Thank you. All right, so we talked, I think we talked last time about how PlayStation has decided to call PlayStation Morpheus. They've gotten rid of the name. Oh, that was, it appears to be like what Nintendo used to do. Remember the Revolution? Excuse me, hold on. I have allergies and I keep sneezing. Oh, my gosh. All right, that one about took my head off. You know what? I'm going to pause the show. I'll be right back. I'm going to go blow my nose. Hang on a second. Okay, sorry, I'm back. Jeez. Anyway, Morpheus. It's not called Morpheus anymore. It's now called the PlayStation VR or PSVR, which I kind of like. I think that rolls off the tongue nicely. And they're calling it, Sony that is, a hugely powerful weapon for game developers. Quote, using VR tech, it's so easy. It's almost unfair, he told Stuff Magazine at the Tokyo Game Show. I say he, it is. Who is it? Sony executive name, not here. Anyway, it goes on to say it's like the ultimate weapon. I think it's going to be a hugely powerful weapon for game developers to create new and exciting experiences for consumers. Wow, Sony, boilerplate freaking boring ass descriptions of all that stuff. That's not cool. Why don't you tell us something like, you know, how you're going to be, how you can set yourself apart? Like, the game I saw today, well, we'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later. I think it's in the news, and I want to talk about it. There's a game coming for VR that might be the first VR game I'm actually excited about. I'm not 100% sure yet, but I think that might be the one. I mean, gaming in general is going to be neat, and I'm excited about experiences I don't even know about yet, but of what's been shown, this one maybe has me the most excited. Star Wars Battlefront uses dedicated servers. Rejoice, everyone who was worried about that. A few of you, right? You'd like to have your nice low latency games. You don't want somebody to have the advantage because it's peer-to-peer and they're not having any latency, and you are. Their hit detection's faster than yours. Nobody wants that in their FPS, do they? Well, there's no server browser, and they've opted instead. You know the server browser on the other one there, Battlefield, right? They're instead using the skill-based matchmaking system, whatever that means. And a bunch of people have been kind of mixed about it. People aren't sure how they feel about it. But DICE came back with some news to kind of follow up on this thing and said they'll use dedicated servers and multiplayer. That made a lot of people very happy. This came from the mouth of Jamie Keane. And he said this to PlayStation Lifestyle at the Tokyo Game Show. Lots of stuff coming out of TGS this last week. He says, we still have dedicated servers. Absolutely. It's one of the hallmarks of making sure we deliver unparalleled online servers for the game. I feel like we kind of probably already knew this. The big change here is that they're just getting rid of the front-end browser business that the last two Battlefield games used. Did Hardline use that too? I didn't play it, so I don't know. But 3 and 4 did. Unless you're on console, then who cares, right? Anyway. This comes on the tail of the news that Halo 5, Guardians, and Call of Duty Black Ops 3 will also have dedicated servers. So, good stuff. Are you guys still looking forward to the beta? What is it, early October still? I think that's right. PC, PlayStation 1, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, rather. Yeah, PlayStation 1. Anyway, more details about the beta are coming out all the time, and I suspect this is going to be a huge deal next month. So, I'm pretty jazzed. Are you? Destiny the Taken King has taken the top spot on the UK sales charts. Taken, get it? Oof. Anyway, it's doing quite well. It's the first Activision Blizzard title to reach number one since Advanced Warfare last year, Call of Duty. That's pretty good. Not great that it took them that long, I guess. I'm sure they wanted to be there more often. This is all according to something called Chart Track. It's not the same as MPDs, because MPDs are, are those worldwide numbers or just North America, I don't know. Anyway, Taken King represents about 16% of the sales of the original Destiny. Let me just say something real quick. I've been buying into the hype and thought, you know what, maybe I do want to get back into Destiny. Maybe that's my gig. Maybe I want to play that again and I'll give it a shot. My friend Patrick's been raving. He already liked it, but, you know, still saying good things. And some of the updated reviews seem pretty strong. And I thought, well, they've overhauled a lot. They kicked Dinklage out of there. I mean, there's some movement, right? Some stuff going on with that game. And then I went to go think about getting it, and it said, yeah, you got to have all the previous DLC and before you can buy this expansion. So don't think you're going to save any money at all by just buying the expansion. You got to buy everything. Now I know the base game got updated too with the changes to the core systems, but I still would really like a deal, please. I don't want to play all that DLC I missed that no one's playing now. That's endgame content for a game. If I decided to go play it in earnest, I'm not going to do that stuff. If I do, it'll be brief before I move on to the better stuff, the newer stuff. I don't like how they're doing that, how they're handling that. Anyway, the rest of the top 10 looks like this in the UK. Destiny the Taken King, number one, of course. Forza Motorsport 6 at number two. Good job there, Microsoft. That's a good placement. Pro Evolution Soccer 2016 after that. Boy, they love that over there. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain at number 4. Mad Max just below that. Super Mario Maker below that. Then we've got Grand Theft Auto 5. Still killing it. Jeez. Disney Infinity 3.0, Rugby League Live 3, and Lego Jurassic World rounding the whole thing out. Yeah. That's good to see all that, I guess. All right, now that thing I was going to talk to you about. Monument Valley Developers' next game is an exclusive VR experience. Ooh. And it's called Land's End. Not like the catalog where you buy a bunch of stupid hipster garbage from the New England propped up collar place. Isn't there, do I have that right? There's a catalog, like the Land's End catalog. It's kind of like L.L. Bean. Bunch of sweater-wearing rich people sitting around reading their books and their pipe in one hand and the dog at their feet, that kind of stuff. Everything's orange and brown. Anyway, it looks beautiful. And that Monument Valley, you got to remember, that was a hell of a game. And they're sure planning on people remembering Monument Valley because everything to do with this reveal has that written all over it. So in other words, it's like the YouTube video says, Land's End, from the people who brought you Monument Valley. Like, that's the title of the video. They're just pushing it. It's all throughout the video, of course. And all the press releases keep mentioning Monument Valley. I think that's probably smart, because otherwise you don't know these people. They haven't done much else. But they hit it real big with that mobile game. So this will be a VR experience. It is for Gear VR. And that means that's where you're going to see it first and soon. However... Oh, by the way, end of October 30th, day before Halloween, it'll be out for Gear VR. However, my suspicion is if that does well or at least gets some press or something, we'll end up seeing that on Steam VR and all the other VRs. I think that is just an inevitable thing that's going to happen, and you're all crazy if you think otherwise. I don't think you're crazy. All-time gonky? All-time Donkey Kong world record was beaten twice in less than a day. Holy shite. The Donkey Kong Online Open 2015, it's a tournament organized by the DonkeyKongForum.com. There's a guy named Wes Copeland registered a score of 1,170,500, which, if verified, this will take the title away from Robbie Lakeman, who took it away from Hank Chen 1 year ago. Now, all you all are like, wait, I saw King of Kong. I thought Steve Wiebe still had it, or the dude with the ugly tie and the long hair. I thought he still had it. Nope. Anyway, first gamer to score 1.1 million in Donkey Kong on his first man. That's no deaths. That's crazy. He was able to sacrifice his three extra men on the final barrel screen, essentially making this a near-perfect game, says Twin Galaxies. In response, wow, mere 1,700 points. Isn't that crazy? Maybe we'll get another, you know, King of Kong 2, dude. Why not? I'd watch that. NVIDIA's offering a deal. You guys want a deal from NVIDIA? They're giving exclusive heroes away for the Hero Storm bundle, along with Blizzard, of course, with GTX 950s and 960s. Not much to say here except... I think, and we'll talk about this on the first Premiere Core episode, but Blizzard's attempt to brute force push heroes into some kind of limelight, given the fierce competition from League of Legends and Dota 2, is not that surprising to me, and you're seeing it on a lot of fronts. Various deals with Twitch this week, that was something. this thing where they're, you know, bundling heroes and getting the word out there with actual hardware. And this hardware, by the way, this is that stuff, the 950 and 960s are designed to be very MOBA specific. So that's perfect for Blizzard's quote unquote brawler. Includes Diablo, the Kaiju variant skin, a 7-day stim pack. And that stim pack is just like the normal ones, 100% experience, 150 gold bonus while active. And, yeah, it's funny though. One of the things that came out of all of this is some people are a little concerned that the GTX 950 is not up to the task. If you run graphic quality on extreme for that, for Heroes of the Storm, it kind of brings the GTX 950 to its knees. It does okay on a little lower settings, but it seems like if you were going to ship it, this bundle with that card, it might want to be like maxed, you know? Or you're going to get, people are going to give you trouble. But we'll see how it goes. Xbox One Elite controller got a release date. Yay! How? Because retailers let it leak like they weren't supposed to. And Microsoft hasn't even officially confirmed the date. They've kept quiet on the deal. But a bunch of major retailers, including Microsoft's own store, by the way, very briefly had it up for $150. And it was confirmed to launch sometime in the month of October. And if you're an Xbox fan, you're probably looking at October 27th and saying, well, that's not a random Tuesday in October. That's the day Halo 5 Guardians comes out. I wonder. Geez, let me think for a second. I wonder if it'll launch the day that Halo 5 comes out. I'm going to say yes. You heard it here first. Call me on it if I'm wrong. Here's what you'll get, though. Xbox Elite Wireless Controller. Duh. Carrying case. Set of 4 paddles. What does that mean? Oh, those little paddles. Set of 6 thumbsticks, standard 2, or standard 2 of those, 2 tall and 2 domed. So these are the different analog stick covers. Set of 2 D-pads. So you got the faceted and the standard. You've seen the faceted in all the photos. USB cable, AA batteries, quick setup guide, and product manual. That was the name of my houseboy in 1987. Star Fox Zero, delayed. Man, what's going on over there? Actually, I don't care because I don't like Star Fox. But anyway, whatever. I don't like on-rails shooters, not my cup of tea. But comes out spring of 2016 now. It's gotten pushed. Game producer Shigeru Miyamoto posted a message explaining the delay on Facebook. And he says, to the people looking forward to the launch of this game this holiday season, I am very sorry. They want to take some more time. And Nintendo doesn't usually put out broken stuff, so it's probably fine. If you're a fan and you're looking forward to that, well then keep looking forward because it'll be fine. The Pope's visit. The Pope is coming and the visit might delay iPhone 6S's. Oh, shite. He's coming this week. This is a gaming story because, you know, you can play a lot of video games on your phone. But The Verge is talking about this. UPS, one of the bigger shippers of the phones, obviously, they're letting customers know about delays. These are mostly delays in Washington, Washington, D.C., New York City, and Philadelphia. Mostly Eastern Seaboard stuff as a result of this visit. Now, when I first read the article, I thought, I thought it said result of the PayPal visit. But it's a result of the papal visit. Some papal. Anyway. So if you're looking forward to getting your new 6S or 6S Plus, you're maybe hosed there. However, the rest of the country is supposed to get them on the 25th. That's Friday. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. Life is Strange's final episode is getting a release date and coming out. I really liked it. I only played the first part. I really need to catch up with the rest of it. I thought it was great. Really enjoyed it. It was the right length. Like, I think I talked about it on here. I thought Life is Strange is pretty cool and super weird. The final episode is called Polarized and will land on October 20th. Look at all these October dates, man. They announced this actually on Monday, so it's been a few days ago. Many things can change in the lead-up to release, but the team is working really hard to hit this date, says the studio behind it. They are called Don't Nod Entertainment. Imagine a life where you could never nod. Just think about that for a minute. Because nodding means yes, right? You can only shake your head no. Or people would have to intuit what your eyes are saying. Anyway, we know the wait may be longer for some than you were hoping, but we want to ensure Episode 5 is the best it can be. We want it to be the best it can be. Right? Don't we want that? We want that. Okay, time for phone calls and emails. Phone calls today, because we've had a few back up. We'll get to maybe three of these today. As always, leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. And might get it played on the show. Keep it short, keep it focused, keep it interesting. Play right here on the podcast. You've heard them before. You know how they sound. Stuff like that. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. You can send your attachments and or regular emails there. Here's our first call. This one has to do about changes.
Good afternoon. This is Jim from Cincinnati calling for the Boop Show. I'm calling on behalf of all the Destiny fans that are excited about the changes coming with the Taken King. Having listened to so many of your shows, Scott, I can't help but feel like this may be what needed to happen to bring you around. I'd love to hear what your thoughts on it are.
All right, I'd like to hear back from you what your thoughts are on the pricing structure for how I have to get back into this thing. I mean, I paid, and the other problem is I know some people are doing trade-ins at like GameStop and stuff. They have some kind of reduced cost, but I didn't get it on a disc. I live in 2015, damn it. I bought it digitally like you're supposed to. This is the future. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that other than I would like to try it again. And maybe I'll download the base game and at least try it. You know, get my hand around some of the changes, but I don't know. I get this feeling that if I didn't love it before, I'm not going to love it now. It's not changed that much. I don't know. Guys, talk me into it. Give me a reason. Happy to take your phone calls and your emails encouraging me to do it.
Dan from Minnesota here. For the last couple of months, you've been raving about a new game called Rocket League.
Yep.
How great it is.
It is.
And every time you bring it up, all I can think is, yeah, I fell in love with this game years ago. Where have you been? So I looked it up to discover that this is a sequel to a game I play called Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket-Powered Battle Cars. Yeah, terrible name, I know. This game came out in 2008, but I did notice one of the big differences between the two games is the arenas. Rocket League seems to have a very basic design to the fields, while Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket-Powered Battle Cars has a variety of non-traditional fields to play. I understand new crazy map packs will be coming to Rocket League, but in the meantime, I suggest people take a look at Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket-Powered Battle Cars. Maybe I'm not the first person to bring this to your attention, but I haven't heard you mention it anywhere.
I totally knew this already. It's the same company. This is the game they made before, and it kind of hit without a big bang and nobody cared. I didn't play it then, and I haven't played it since, and so I can't speak to like how well do they nail control and air control and, you know, the stuff that they do so well in Rocket League. I don't know. But my gut tells me and the stuff I read tells me that they weren't even close to what they've done with Rocket League. So I think what they did is they had a vision for something. They sort of kind of realized their vision in 2008 and they came back and did it way better in 2015. So, yeah, I was aware of it. Their new DLC, by the way, which is out soon-ish. Probably October, like everything, has a bunch of those old cars in it. So for people who are into that game and want those old car designs, for whatever reason, those are coming in the next DLC. So, and another, I think another arena. But I think you're not wrong about the change to the arenas may have a big part of this. A lot of people are saying that. The focus on what you're doing on the arena and less about the arena's shape or trying to be all futuristic with it, I think that has been a benefit to the game. Still an amazing game. Played a bunch of that the other night again. As always, just such a fun game. And I'm doing pretty good. Ranking high, doing well. That game is great. You know it, I know it.
Hey, Scott, it's Nate from Northern Illinois. Just wanted to ask you a quick question and tell you one thing. The question is, do you think we'll ever see heroes in Heroes of the Storm that are under $10,000, and that will be less than $10, or is that just going to be the norm from now on? And the other thing I want to tell you is that I was like you, hated Destiny. I just picked up the Taken King, and I don't want to say it's exactly like Loot 2.0 with Diablo and Reaper of Souls, but it's like that. It's definitely better. Drops are cooler. Just seems more fluid. And the controls are just so tight. So I've been really enjoying that, surprisingly. Love the show.
Well, there's another one telling me to do it. I will take that into account. Yeah, the heroes question. The $10 a release day. So this is how it works in the game. a brand new character when first released until it moves into a slot where then there's another new character to buy. That character will cost you $10 US or 15,000 gold. When he becomes not new, they're all 10,000 gold unless they're on sale. And sales happen all the time. I picked up... Oh, who'd I pick up? Crap. Oh, Rhaegar for like 6,000 gold, in-game gold, which was like, I don't know, $7 US or something. I didn't buy it with money. I bought it with gold. I had enough gold. So they're on sale all the time. My point is that it's not always $10 and always 10,000 gold forever. They do fluctuate. They have sales all the time. They have bundled sales. They have individual sales. So there's ways to get that stuff on the cheap. If you want to get it day one, though, I think the $10 slash 15 to 10K gold is the I think that is where they want their standard to be. I do not suspect that will go lower. If it ever did, it would be because they have to. Blizzard tends to start high and then go low if they have to, which makes sense from a business standpoint. I remember when World of Warcraft's monthly subscription was announced at $15. Nobody could believe it, and they thought, man, how are you going to compete with these $10 MMOs out there? You're charging five more a month. No one's going to do it, and then everyone did it. So I think they're also doing fine here. Their earnings are strong on Heroes, so is it a little expensive? Yes. If you really are into that game, does it feel worth it? Yes. So I think their balance is pretty good. And clearly that's a topic that'll come up a lot on the Core show as well. So something to keep in mind there. Anyway, please leave us more messages. I love these. 801-471-0462 or boopshow@gmail.com. I leave you now with this. Well, a couple of things. Frogpants.com/boop. Go there. That's where all the links are. The latest episode on SoundCloud is there. Just, it's there for you. We're here for you. It's there for you. On Twitter, @BoopShow. You can support this show and others on the Frog Pants Network by going to patreon.com/frogpants. Thank you to everyone who does. Also, cool stuff on the store if that's more your jam. Frogpants.com/store. Oh, and our Reddit is hopping. So hop on over to the Reddit. Lots of gamers over there chatting about stuff. Frogpants.reddit.com. All right. I'm out of here. I got some music for you, though. This is Arcade Attack Boo Step Super Mario World Castle BGM Remix. This is made by Joshua Morse. I actually found this at Game Chops, also on YouTube, and I liked it a lot. It's not, I'm not a big dubstep fan, and there's maybe a little of that in here, but not so much that I'm offended by it. And I think it's a pretty cool jam. So I'm going to play it for you guys now. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with the next episode soon. What was this, 97? 98 coming right up, yo. Almost 100. Should we do something special? Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. Special guest? We'll have to see. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.